Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Our commitments to protect the freedom of religion and to defend the dignity of LGBT people emanate from a common source.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
You don't get any more intimate than to be there on your knees in the manger of your church, receiving in your own mouth this Christ in his body and blood.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
There are some groups that you hear about, and it's kind of like going through a encyclopedia of religious beliefs, and you know you've heard about it. Maybe you've met a person like this, one or two of them, but you have no idea what it is they believe. Now, there's a group, it actually is very influential in the American religious landscape, called Campbellite Church of Christ. We're going to be examining some of their beliefs here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It is Wednesday, the 14th of December. After that, we'll be talking about joy in the Chronicles of Narnia. And then in the second hour of the program, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, will join us for some very interesting thoughts on repentance and the Advent season. He says, look, we need Advent. We need it bad. After that, in the second hour of the program, some open lines. We're going to play an ABC story for you about Tim Tebow. Of course, Tim Tebow is the Denver quarterback who seems to be on such a hot streak. And every time he wins, which nowadays is quite often, he gives thanks to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he talks a lot about God. And he has his own little gesture that people mock or imitate, as the case may be, where he goes to one knee. He's not unique among athletes in giving thanks to God, giving credit to God, being very open in their profession of the Christian faith. Do you think that athletes who reach this level of skill in their particular field have an obligation to be outspoken about their faith? What do you think about Tim Tebow? Is just that much too much? Some open lines in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about Denver quarterback Tim Tebow, God and football. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. If you go to our Facebook fan page, you'll see a place where you can leave your thoughts and comments on Tim Tebow football and God there, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Keith Schweitzer is our guest for the first half hour. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Iowa, author of a new booklet, Various Doctrinal Positions of the Campbellite Church of Christ and a Lutheran Response to Those Positions. Dr. Schweitzer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
How is it that you first became acquainted with something that to many might sound like a rather obscure branch of Christianity, the Campbellites?
Yes, yes, is an obscure group. Actually, Todd, because I come from a family that were predominantly members of the Campbellite Church of Christ. And so my earliest years of my childhood were in the Church of Christ.
And yeah. I guess that kind of necessitates you telling a bit of your story, how you went from being a Campbellite to being a pastor in a Lutheran church and responding to those Campbellite beliefs. How did
sure.
that happen?
Well, I was actually never became a member of the Campbellite Church of Christ, because you can't do that until you reach an age of understanding or age of accountability. So when I say my youngest childhood, I'm speaking about when I was a very, very small child, under the age of 10. And it actually was at Christmas time that I was first, at the age of 10, in 1968, that I went with my mom and dad. We were invited by our next-door neighbors, wonderful, wonderful Missouri Synod Lutheran people, had been Lutheran their whole lives, invited us to the Christmas service in Houston. We lived in Houston at the time. And any of the Christmases memories that I have prior to that are memories of Santa Claus and jingle bells and gifts on December 25th. I had no understanding or no knowledge at all of the true meaning of Christmas, of the Nativity of our Lord, because that is forbidden in the Church of Christ. You can have Santa Claus and jingle bells, but you can't have Christ at Christmas. And so when I was taken to St. Andrew Lutheran Church in Houston for the first time and heard the Christmas story for the first time, then I was absolutely captivated because I was hearing Luke chapter 2 for the first time in my life, and that really was the very, very beginning point of a journey that has carried me really for the duration of my life. And so it is for that reason that Christmas season really is my favorite time of year, because I truly did come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time at Christmas time.
So tell us about Alexander Campbell. When did he live? Who was this man? And how did he come to found the Church of Christ?
He was a gentleman who lived in the early 19th century. He immigrated to Pennsylvania in 1809, and he settled in the little community of Bethany, West Virginia, where he lived most of his life. As a matter of fact, I had the opportunity to make a trip to Bethany, West Virginia this past summer to do some research and take some pictures for my little book that I published. And so he followed in the footsteps of his father, who came to America a couple of years ahead of him. And as was the case, and Todd, you know, this is a familiar story with several men in that age of enlightenment and all of the revivalistic fervor that was occurring in frontier America in that early period, that they were claiming that their church was the true church and their church was the true church. And Alexander Campbell was one of these men who was looking across the landscape of Christendom in early American history and was saying that the denominations and the sects and the different divisions and groups and such, that this is all very displeasing to God. And so he believed, as was the case with his father and some other associates who came to be a part of his Reformation, or rather his Restoration movement, set forth to establish and to recreate true primitive Christianity on the American continent. And so he actually is credited, historically speaking, with founding the largest indigenous religious movement in specifically United States history. And so he is the gentleman. He lived until 1866, and he founded a college in Bethany, West Virginia, which is still an active college today. I was visiting the campus back in August and had a chance to do some research in the archive room of Alexander Campbell. And so not well known outside the sphere of the congregations that have become established under the Campbellite Church of Christ, but very well known within the movement that he helped to found in the early 19th century.
What is the primary, or if there are primary ways, that the Campbellite beliefs differ from biblical Christianity?
Many. The Campbellite Church of Christ vehemently denies that we are saved by grace alone. The Campbellite Church of Christ teaches that we must fulfill five steps. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, they have since recently added a sixth step that we have to fulfill in order to accomplish our salvation. So they reject the doctrine of justification. They reject salvation by grace alone. They speak of baptism as only being for the remission of a person's past sins. Your present and your future sins are your responsibility to atone for. There is no sacramental efficacy in the Lord's Supper. They have lesser known prohibitions. For example, as I mentioned earlier, it is sinful to celebrate any festival in the church, and most notably so Christmas and Easter. You can have, again, for Easter, you can have the Easter bunny, but you can't have the resurrection. And they also are perhaps most well known for their feature of a cappella music. Any musical instrument in the worship service is absolutely forbidden. And that right there is a marker of a heterodox church, is the use of any musical instrument. So they're singing, their music is purely a cappella, and that may be their most well-known feature for those who don't know much more about their doctrinal configuration and their specific beliefs.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to delve a little deeper into probably the biggest problem there with the Campbellite Church of Christ. It's the denial of justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. Dr. Keith Schweitzer is our guest.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to delve into the writings of the early church fathers, but didn't know where to begin? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's our Book of the Month for December, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You can find out more at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Year with the Church Fathers, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon. The 14th of December, Dr. Keith Schweitzer is our guest. We're talking about the Campbellite Church of Christ and its beliefs. You said before the break, Dr. Schweitzer, that the chief problem is that the Campbellite Church explicitly and vehemently rejects salvation by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. What do they then teach about salvation? How is it achieved?
It is a combination of what they say is grace, but that it is amalgamated with all of this works righteousness, specifically as they spell it out in these five steps. You'll frequently see in their literature that there are five requirements, five steps that a person must do himself. A case in point, to give you a specific example, when we speak about salvation by grace alone, and that we speak of faith that is created in the heart of the believer, and that this is the work of God through the Holy Spirit, they adamantly reject that. Faith is the responsibility of the individual. It's something that I have to muster or manufacture myself. As is the case with repentance and confession, and that these are all prerequisites before my baptism can be considered valid. And so they have been, over the course of their history, 200 years now, had their first worship service in 1811, so this year is their actual 200th anniversary. They have been very specific in saying that you Lutherans are wrong in teaching and saying that we are saved by grace alone, because we are not saved by grace alone. We are saved by a combination of God's grace and man's works, and in that regard, the works of mankind definitely set the precedent, the precedent in that effort that we have to engage in ourselves in order to please God. And of course, as sinners, we can't do that. And what that leaves us with, and what that leaves the person in the Campbellite Church of Christ having to somehow reconcile in their own heart and their own life, is how can I ever know that I have fulfilled these five requirements? How can I ever have the assurance and the confidence that I have done these five things in a way that I have the assurance that they are pleasing and acceptable to God? And by virtue of our sin, we can't have that assurance or confidence. It betrays our sinful nature. And not only does it betray our sinful nature, it also betrays the atonement of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. It is in essence to say that his sacrifice was not sufficient, that something more needs to be done. And that is terrible. And not only is it wrong theologically, but the despair that it leads to can absolutely destroy a person's heart and life and faith and joy and hope. So it's a very, very serious situation, and that's part of the reason why I thought it was necessary to write the little book to elaborate about this a little bit.
So the five steps that they enumerate are: a person needs to hear the word, believe the word, repent his sins, confess his sins publicly, be baptized by immersion only. You said they have recently added a sixth?
Right. I have read recent literature that they have added the sixth step, that we must live a holy life.
So
is the language that is used, yes.
So since we don't have time to kind of walk through and see how they deviate from a biblical understanding of each one of these things, you said that they have what they call grace, but it's not by a biblical definition. What is grace to the Campbellite Church of Christ?
Grace is very conditional, and as a result of that, it's no grace at all. So that God's favor and the hope of eternal life is held out like a carrot at the end of a stick, of which, he dangles it out there in front of us, but, you're the one who's constantly running uphill to try to grasp it. And so it is to say that it isn't even a conditional grace, because that's an oxymoron. It is either grace or it's not. And I would hold the position that they may use the term and they may speak of it, but there is in fact no grace to be found. And so that it is pure works righteousness.
It is sad to note, as you look through their beliefs, that they actually share errors with more mainstream, far more commonly found beliefs, an age of accountability, baptism by immersion only. A lot of those beliefs are shared by more mainstream Christians who hold to those heterodox views. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah. Well, a case in point, when you speak specifically about baptism, this aspect of they will speak about baptismal remission, and that will sound, for example, very Lutheran, and yet add this qualifier that baptism is only for the remission of a person's past sins. Now there are other churches, mainstream churches, that do practice baptism by immersion, and they will also at the same time deny remission, baptismal remission, that baptism is not a sacrament, it has no efficacy to it. The Church of Christ will speak about some form of efficacy, but again, it will be this very, very odd qualifier that it is only for a person's past sins, and so that again, that leaves a person fledgling in the water. Okay, what do I do now? My baptism is good up to a point, but then after that, it is of no use to me. And so I would say that, again, what you would see would be a baptism by immersion that looks the same as other churches that practice baptism by immersion, and would take us Lutherans to task for saying that baptismal immersion is certainly a very fine mode of baptism, but the efficacy of baptism is not contingent upon how much water we use. Rather, it is the promises and the blessings of God that we find in the Scriptures, that baptism is for the remission of all of our sins, as Christ died for all of our sins. And so that would be, that would be just one case in point that I would say that what you would see if you were to attend their service that looks similar to what other mainline churches would do. But the theological underpinnings behind it are very different.
Is it, with about a minute here, is this theologically a cult?
I argue and advocate in my book that it is, yes.
Why is that?
That one thing, they do deny their historicity. Everything that I had said about Alexander Campbell and that I write about in the book, they deny and they reject any association with Alexander Campbell. So they deny their own history. Now, there are some within their fellowship today who do recognize and acknowledge their Campbellian history, but that is an aspect of it. And then, basically to say, I argue that when you get to a point where every single major doctrinal tenet of the Christian faith is an error, then you do transcend, in my opinion, even heterodox Christianity to be in a cult. There, I can't think of a single major doctrinal tenet of the Church of Christ that they are not in error on, serious error.
Finally, then, what would you say to a member of the Campbellite Church of Christ listening to us right now, with about a minute, Dr. Schweitzer?
I would honestly encourage and invite anyone who is truly interested to get a copy of my book. It's very, very inexpensive. I would also very much suggest that they get in touch with their local pastor of their local Missouri Synod congregation, and I would also put a little a sales pitch in for the wonderful book, Lutheranism 101 from CPH is an excellent resource. So, and I would very much encourage the folks who are in the Church of Christ who are interested in these matters to avail themselves of these excellent resources and to pay a visit to their local Missouri Synod pastor.
Dr. Keith Schweitzer is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Iowa. He's author of a new booklet called Various Doctrinal Positions of the Campbellite Church of Christ and a Lutheran Response to Those Positions. You can find out more about this new book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Schweitzer, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Blessed Christmas to you.
And to you as well. When we come back, Pastor Sam Schultheis is going to join us. We're going to talk about the theme of joy in the Chronicles of Narnia series. He says, although it is most decidedly a fictional world, it has a lot to say and to show us about the real world. We'll talk about that next here on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 14th. In hour two of the program, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us to talk about our need for Advent, because Advent is about repentance. And then a little open lines. Do you think Tim Tebow's taking his profession of the Christian faith too far? Do you find it annoying? We'll talk about Tim Tebow, God, and football in hour two of Issues, etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sikeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, etc. 300.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's an ongoing controversy in a New Jersey hospital about forcing nurses to participate in providing abortions. 12 nurses have sued to protect their right to choose not to help kill unborn babies. The hospital's fighting back, claiming the nurses are only required to care for abortion patients before and after the procedure, not during. But you be the judge if this argument's legit. One nurse said a manager told her, "You just have to catch the baby's head. Don't worry, it's already dead." How would you like to be given the ultimatum of doing this or losing your job? And of course, the ACLU is supporting the facility. The hospital gets nearly $60 million tax dollars, and as a result, federal law clearly states it can't force medical staff to participate in abortion. Please pray for justice.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.